Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In an essay entitled Union and Confession, written in 1938, just prior to World War II, Hermann Zassa penned these words, "Where man can no longer bear the truth, he cannot live without the lie. Where man can no longer bear the truth, he cannot live without the lie." In this wonderfully lucid little booklet, Zassa then goes on to contrast the truth with the lie. He notes that from the very beginning, the lie and the truth have done battle with each other, not simply out there in the world, but right here, in the church. So it was in the days of the apostle, or the apostles, as Paul said to the congregation at Corinth, "For there must be factions among you, that in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." The lie, Zassa said, takes on various forms. There is the pious lie, the hypocrisy with which man lies to himself, and finally, even to God. And the pious lie easily becomes the edifying lie, the lie that actually takes comfort in untruth. Zassa sees an example of the edifying lie embodied or embraced by the medieval church when the trust was put in the power of the saints, relying on the excess of their merit to further them in the struggle towards righteousness. That was the edifying lie unmasked and expelled by the Reformation. But then there's the dogmatic lie, the assertion that now we have come to greater doctrinal maturity and that the old teachings are no longer valid. They are to be changed for more contemporary, relevant theology. And finally, there is, Zassa warned, the institutional lie, when churches embody the dogmatic lie in their own life, instituting false teaching as normative. Jeremiah has the lie in all of its forms, in all of the forms that Zassa described, the pious lie, the edifying lie, the dogmatic lie, and the institutional lie, in the crosshairs, as he takes aim at Jerusalem's prophets. They have lulled the people of Israel into a state of spiritual drowsiness with inflated visions of peace and prosperity. Instead of proclaiming the certainty of the promise, they have peddled the sweet security of the flesh. Thinking themselves to be pastoral, they say, "It will be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster will come upon you." It is a soothing homiletic, to be sure. It might even sound kind of nice on your PIF form. But it is devoid of the one thing that matters, the truth of consolation. For it is finally a lie. It is not a message that God has authorized. It is a lie that edifies only in the way of building up a hardened resistance to repentance. No talk here of God's wrath and judgment on unbelief. Not a mention at all of a God who kills and makes alive. Just sweet spiritual nothings whispered into ears plugged to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Instead, Jeremiah harangues. He harangues against prophets whose lips God did not open, whose mouths give exposition to dreams woven out of the deceit of their own rogue hearts. With their reckless sermons, they lead the Lord's people astray so that the Lord's name is forgotten and he is not remembered as the God that he is. Rather than awakening faith which is bold to call upon the name of the Lord, these preachers lull their hearers into complacency, and they do so with unauthorized promises of well-being. No disaster will come upon you. All is well. Be at peace. They cannot preach this wild God of the Old Testament, this invasive God, this Lord who is jealous to have a people exclusively for himself. So they advertise a user-friendly God, a domesticated deity who will pronounce his benediction on the plans, purposes, and programs of the heart, whatever they might be. Jeremiah denounces this as idolatry, no different in substance from the way that Israel's fathers had been seduced into the worship of Baal. God's ears are not closed to these lying words. From his sight, nothing is concealed, and no utterance is so quietly or softly spoken as to be beyond his ears. Truth and falsehood have no more in common than wheat does with straw. God's coming is a judgment. The fire of his word ignites the stubble of unbelief. The hammer of the law, his law, pulverizes hearts, granite hard, in a monument built to unrighteousness. The Lord sets his face against these lying prophets. Now, that's about as far as this text, today's text, takes us. Talk about leaving the preacher and the congregation between a rock and a hard place. It's not a very good place for teachers and students at a seminary to be. There's plenty of dire warning in Jeremiah for those of us who are preachers or who aspire to the preaching office, lest we too be numbered with those lying prophets who proclaim peace when there is no peace, who preach that all is well when in fact disaster is imminent. There is much here in our text to remind us that we are to afflict the comfortable. But there's not much here that would tell us that we are to comfort the afflicted. Not much, but a little. Listen again to verse 28. Let him who has my word speak it faithfully. We have the word of the righteous branch, the one that was proclaimed by the same prophet Jeremiah, the one whose name would forever be the Lord is our righteousness. We are here because we have his word. We have the word of the ones whose words are spirit and they are life. His word is true, the truth of how God is toward sinners for the sake of his suffering and death. The truth that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have, brothers and sisters, the word of the cross, the certain truth that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, making peace through that blood. We can live without the lie because we have the truth, and that truth is Jesus. It is him that we proclaim. Amen.